Hey guys, Ugly Sonic here. You might remember me from the first ever Sonic trailer that came out. Catch me in the new movie Chippendale Rescue Rangers on Disney Plus. Anyway, here's the Digital Bath Boys talking about the greatest video game characters of all time, part two.
Fuck.
Hey guys, you're in part two of greatest video game characters of all time. That wasn't actually Ugly Sonic.
I was like, thanks, Ugly Sonic.
It wasn't?
No, who was it? That was Ugly Dakota.
Oh, shit. Your CG looks pretty good, though.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Basically, gameplay's the same terrible, person. But the graphics are good.
Hey, man, the gameplay is okay for a little bit.
About 10 minutes.
I'm here with Jesse, Nick, and Chris. And let's just jump right into it. So, picking up from where we left off.
Jesse, I know you had one.
Yeah.
We mentioned him in the last episode.
Elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Kratos, the god of war.
Hell yeah.
Must
More
be
like
talked
Kratos.
About.
As Kratos cast himself from the tallest mountain.
First of all, iconic PlayStation character, a fucking badass. Mm-hmm.
Talk about, like I said with Voss, like feeling ferocity. Him through the TV. Like you felt Kratos through the TV.
Yep. Has had two voice actors, and I think both of them played the character amazing. The first one definitely has that kind of more I'm a tough guy, Vin Diesel-ish kind of feel.
Yeah.
And that's a good way of putting it. He was a pretty straightforward character, honestly, in the first three games. His sole purpose is to kill the gods because they wronged him. I mean, the god of war himself is the reason that his whole family was murdered. If you play some of the other games, you find out it's also some other people's fault, but more or less it's a revenge story, but great gameplay followed by, I think, just the way they animated it. Like you felt fucking powerful when you used the chains of Olympus, when you used the giant fucking hammer. I don't even remember whose hammer it is, but you get a giant hammer. I think throughout the first game and you just had this awesome power, as you went through the games, crazy weird kaiju battle ending in the first one.
Yeah. That was cool.
It was cool. Did you play a lot of the God of War games?
No.
Really?
But they seem cool. And I would say, because I mean, I was still, well, guys, you also have to remember, when did the first God of War come out?
2003?
Something like that.
Yeah, I was 9.
4?
So.
I got it the day it came out.
Yeah, so, but something that I always noticed when the next God of War came out, it was kind of the next, like, best-looking thing whenever it came out.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with, like,
Oh, yeah.
2 and 3.
You know how you know on that there PS2, it was a gold-backed disc. That's a dual layer there. Mm-hmm. That's how you know.
They're going to look real good.
What I liked about the series is that all the monsters, it was like a horror movie of Greece. Like, all these fucked-up monsters like Medusa and the Minotaur, they weren't just, like, your fantasy versions of them. They were pretty scary, and just all around evil, and you felt fucking awesome anytime you killed any of the big enemies or any of the gods.
Rip the Cyclops eye out.
Yes.
Yeah.
The time frame it came out to, obviously,
very controversial.
Yeah. Obviously, video games existed, you know, 20 something years, almost 30 years before that, right? Great. And there's been violence, there's been sex and all that kind of stuff, sure, but
you can fuck bitches
not,
in that first game.
Not bro, to the level bitches. Of God of War. And just like Jesse was saying, the example I was going to use, immediately
yes. Yeah.
You start off
first
on a ship,
on the ship.
The very like moment the game starts and you take control, you can go down in the cabin and you can have a threesome.
You can knock and that vase
there,
right off.
There is a quick time event, and when you make them come, they shoot out a bunch of health for you. It is
nope. It was red. We assume it was health, but
well, there
it gives you health.
It was Shark Week. Ew. Anyway,
ew.
He is the God of War. Yeah.
Is that what the was there a Hydra there or what was That's, attacking
yeah.
the ship?
Yeah,
it was the.
I played the beginning of the first one,
so it was just like immediately you're like, oh my god, and then you get to start killing your first enemies, and it's just brutal. It the is
combos,
bloody.
Combos,
and
combos.
The combos were fantastic. It played well.
Athena! And the gameplay, I mean, the gameplay elevated it.
Hell
too.
Yeah. And to your point, Jesse, it did such a good job early on of making you feel powerful. Like, you could almost feel the types of like light attacks and heavy
flipping
attacks
up a chest.
And
the QTEs,
and
yeah,
all that kind of shit. Like, you felt it through the controller. You felt it in the game. It was a really good way of doing it. You
with
felt
the DualShock.
Strong. Yeah, DualShock. Hell yeah.
Do you think Kratos with just God of War 1 through 3 is in the Pantheon, or is it after once we add in?
It 1 through 3.
1 through 3, yes, and afterwards just elevated him even more. You played all four of them so far, the main series?
Yes. I mean, even 1 and 2, I feel like those were fucking PS2, like,
that's
must
true.
Have
yeah.
games.
By 2, I mean, 3 was really just, like, the send-off, right?
Like,
for, like,
home,
yeah.
Like, bro, which boss was it? Was it Poseidon that you could just keep punching?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
you had, yeah.
And it was like, do I stop? What happens? Do
How
I stop?
How did you, because he kept turning into water right fucking with you. How was it that you finally, like,
determine
were able
that
to
ice, don't you?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But you catch his ass, and you just
I watched a montage of Kratos just killing everyone in this game.
Yeah, when you rip off, is it Helios?
Yeah,
no.
The yeah. fast dude. No, that was Hermes, no, when no, you no, break no. his legs.
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and you
shit.
Beat the fuck out of Hercules, who's
you
your half brother.
Fuck out of him,
and
yeah.
he's like a big dummy, and you're like, all right, dude, step up.
It's one of those, like, it's a, you know what you're in for
yeah.
in the first three games. It's a revenge story. You're just there to kill everything
brutally
kill everything
and see some titties along the way.
Oh yeah, Medusa titties were. Well, I mean, yeah, the normal people
Harpy titties.
Well, that goes back. That you know what? Let's take that back again. That's one of the first games.
With just straight
with
up nudity
just
throughout
up
the game?
Nudity in the game.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot, if any. I can't think of one that was like
Custard Last Stand on the original
AO.
Atari.
Yeah, right. Not that's AO or not the ones that were like, you know, the third party ones way back in the day where anybody could make games for it. But like, it was just like, oh, they're straight up tits in this.
Does that add to being one of the greatest
yes.
video game characters of all time?
Yes.
You still fucked them up.
Because Kratos was like, fucking kill bitches and get bitches. Like,
I
mean,
okay,
like,
I
do
Jesus
not care
Christ,
about the
he sounds a little bit misogynistic.
So let's add in the modernization of God of War 4.
They did The Last of Us. They did the lone wolf becomes father figure, but you know what he's about, right? You know that he's this horribly tormented character that pretty much only knows hate, anger, destruction. And then all of a sudden, with no explanation, he's got this kid, this boy that he cares for, you suspect, and at least that he's protecting, and that he had a wife, and you're like, what? Kratos,
yeah.
Another wife? I would never, why would he do that?
After all the fitches he's bucked, you'd assume he'd have a few more kids.
I wasn't ready for that.
And throughout the game, I think he realizes how his teachings have almost hurt Atreus in making him more like himself, and he doesn't want to be that person anymore. God, he's still a god, really. He doesn't want to be that god anymore. He doesn't want to be that person that beats down the person he's trying to protect, and he starts to trust other characters. There's the two little dwarf guys that he starts to go to for his abilities, and then there's the head that he has the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And you see this character grow, which we honestly didn't see at all, I think, 1 through 3. It's pretty straightforward. So I'm excited to see where this next game goes. I think hopefully there'll be a better relationship between Atreus and Kratos. And it seems like he's learning from his mistakes with the last game.
All I'm saying is if they Last of Us 2 Kratos, I'm out.
You're not
I don't
want
to be fucking Atreus. I don't care. I don't want to be him.
Was God of War 4 really all a one shot with the camera?
Yes, because there were no load times unless you fast traveled. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then, well, that's not really true because you would travel to
the
other realms.
Between the realms and the cutscenes, yes. But like everything else, like you go into a new area, there's no load time, there's no cutscene, you just
go in between.
So during the actual gameplay, it's all
seamless.
One shot. It's all seamless.
And he is kind of that reluctant hero in the newest version because Can't think of the villain from the from that game.
Boulder.
Boulder shows up.
I didn't even play that shit.
Fucks his day up.
And I've seen that fight.
And he, yeah, and he's still like, don't do this. You don't want to catch these hands.
You don't want this.
I have destroyed a pantheon of people. Okay, here we go. And, you know, that instinct kicks in.
I will eventually play God of War 4. Like, that is on my short list. Amanda played it. She loved it.
In my opinion, it's the best God of War. It's my favorite God of War. It might not stand out as like the most popular because of what God of War 1 or 3 did, but I mean, fuck, dude, this game.
I've never heard anyone say anything bad about God of War 4.
Oh, well, nothing God bad.
Of War in general,
but,
honestly, but yeah. Anyone that actually plays games.
There's Ascension. We won't talk about Ascension. Well, sure. But
was that Santa Monica?
Yeah.
Sony Santa Monica?
Uh-oh.
Yes, I believe so. I believe it
was. Was God of War 4 directed by the same guy who did Twisted Metal?
Oh. I don't know.
I believe it was.
Because that dude knows how to... I mean, you know, Twisted Metal doesn't have... Well, Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
Iconic
yeah.
fucking characters. Yeah. But, like, the just the little story you get in Twisted Metal, you're like, this is fucking insane. Like, I want to know more.
Twisted.
But I think it's the same guy. It might not be, but...
I thought it was this... Is it not the same guy that did the other three?
I don't remember. I don't know, to be honest.
I don't know either. I'm not sure.
We'll have to look. Who's got another iconic character? Kratos is... We're done with him.
Master Chief. Yeah. Again.
Xbox.
Yeah.
Mascot.
He is Xbox.
He is Mr. Mascot. Again, this is another character that is popular because of its game, not because of him.
Really?
I feel like I would argue, so. I would argue that.
I don't think so. I mean.
Is he not the Captain America of.
He is.
Sure. The storytelling, but him as a character. I mean, recently they've dived more into it, but in the past, he said a few lines. He was a badass. People knew who he was. He didn't say much. He didn't have a lot of development as a character.
In the games, I suppose you're right. The books expand a lot on...
Not talking about books.
That's
not
fair.
Yeah, we're talking about...
I would argue since 3, though.
Sure.
His whole mission was to get Cortana back. He's showing that he has emotion and that he cares about, albeit an AI, but he cares about this... person who's been with him this whole journey. So I would argue midway through the series now, because there's what, 7 games now, that he starts to become more of an actual character.
I agree. No, I agree with that. But I think he already set his mark.
That's fair.
So is it his gameplay that made him so
initially, yes.
That made him one of the greatest characters of all time.
And his look, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, Halo was revolutionary for console gaming at the time. It changed the game.
Anything that is a label for Halo is revolutionary.
And
almost multiplayer,
right there.
Yep. Game modes, shooters,
and the LAN party. I mean,
coding. I mean, what do you?
That stuff, right? Yeah. That stuff existed before LAN parties and stuff. But then Halo came out, and it was like, hey, let's 8 people get our Xboxes together and play 16-on-16, like fucking crazy.
And back
shit.
In the day, multiplayer, it wasn't different armors. It was just Chief's armor in different color.
Yep.
That was it. So everyone looked like Chief when you were playing multiplayer in the first game. But he looked cool. I mean, he looked like a Starship Trooper. He looked like a fucking Space Marine.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was easy and it was accessible to people. It was just different. And then you said multiplayer. Halo 2 came out and legitimately revolutionized and set the tone for what online gaming is today.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for Halo 2 and the way they did their system, online gaming would not exist the way it does.
I would say, Halo 2, Call of Duty 3, and Gears of War.
Sure.
I mean, those were Xbox Live, right?
Oh, yeah, Counter-Strike, definitely. I mean, that's, I think, maybe even before Halo.
Mm-hmm. Unreal Tournament, guys. What the fuck is that?
The Unreal Tournament's pretty cool.
I'm sorry, Live. Doom. Mm. Not Doom 3.
What was it, Crimson Skies?
Quake Wars.
Quake.
Remember Crimson Skies? They kept putting, like, Xbox stuff with it?
Yep.
Yeah. Xbox Live stuff.
But yeah, I mean, it just... He is, like you said, he is Halo. He is the mascot.
He is Halo.
He's Microsoft.
He is the mascot of Microsoft, of Xbox. I mean,
giving the Covenant back their bomb. I mean, he just one
liners.
He
had great one liners.
One liners throughout the
lot. Iconic voice actor. Like, I get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who was just at Planet Comic Con.
Yeah.
He was. But I initially, it was just he benefited from the games and their, you know, the revolutionary status of it. Kind of like Mario. benefited from the games. It's not the character necessarily. I mean, he looks cool, but you know, it's the game itself. Now, of course, it's different. He has much more of a character involved. He has way more lines, lore, emotions.
He fucks
in the show.
That's all I know about the show.
He fucks.
Yeah, people are mad about it.
Master Chief fucks.
He fucks.
He fucks. Hell yeah, man.
Good for him.
He took off his helmet.
You guys mentioned another kind of a
comic. I heard he's a redhead.
Not in the show.
No, not the show. Why he's not. Would he do that? But he is in the
in game, the books.
In the books.
Gingers don't fuck. We know this.
Canonically, he does not fuck.
Then how are there more gingers?
Clones.
Stupid.
They steal souls and then replicate.
Oh, that's scary.
There is this webcomic that's really funny where there's this like redhead and he kisses like this chick's like, I'm glad I was able to see past your like ugly exterior and see the person you were on the inside, and like they kiss, and then his red hair transfers over to her and he has like blonde hair and he's like, finally I'm free, and he runs away and she's got red hair.
Halo 5.
Chris, what were you saying?
Marcus Phoenix, man,
he's up there.
Dom, maybe more. I don't know.
No, Marcus for sure.
Yeah, Dom, you're blocking my shot.
One of the greatest video game characters of all time.
Iconic, yes.
Yes.
Voiced by a great guy. Yes.
Voiced by a great guy, Bender.
Great guy.
John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio.
Yeah, good job.
I said
you
that
got it
without
first
help.
Try. Good job.
Good job, man.
As far as Xbox goes, absolutely. He is definitely in the top characters.
So he's not that iconic to maybe us four. I think
don't say iconic because he is iconic. That's not what we're saying though.
Yeah.
Greatest video game characters of all time. He is iconic, but an icon is not
the same as greatest. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's arguable because Mario, it's kind of the same example. Mario is not a great character, so to speak, but he is iconic.
But yeah, man.
Go on about your Marcus.
No, you keep talking for me. It's working
out. Jesse, that is a hell of a good point. That is a good point.
Baird more than I like Marcus.
But. Yeah. He's a big, tough man.
I like Coltrane better than
Coltrane.
Coltrane, because
that mug runs on whole grains, baby.
I think the ensemble of Gears of War are great together.
It's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yes, because you have your ready soldier, very basic, but he plays off of his best friend Dom, who's kind of the more wisecracky, and Baird, who's even more of a wisecracky kind of guy. And then Coltrane's just lovable. He's like the happy-go-lucky guy that you have to have in every squad. Like, it works as a unit, I would say.
But Coltrane isn't annoying about it somehow.
No, never.
Like, unlike that new
Apex
Legends.
Well, the guy that voices
Legends
him is really funny.
I'm just trying to bring up Apex Legends.
Stop it.
Every time I do, Nick's like, motherfucker.
If you have legitimately an Apex character...
That is
go
iconic?
No, that you think's a great character.
Oh,
go
Caustic,
for it.
All the way.
No.
Okay. I thought you were gonna say something a little more inspirational than Caustic.
Who are you gonna say?
Maybe it's the whole rather than the single. I think Apex has done an amazing job of representing a whole widespread of people. Yes.
Oh,
people that don't identify as he or she.
Fantastic job of that.
Several of the characters are female or people of color. I would argue there's probably more of those than white men in that game.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Which is great.
It's far more inclusive when it comes to...
Well, they didn't want you killing white men, so they put the other characters in.
Oh, dang it. Why'd you have to put...
God damn it, Dakota. You fucking ruined it.
You ruined it. We're killing women and and people of color.
Stop.
I hate you.
Stop.
I didn't make the fucking game.
Oh.
Oof.
So there's no one iconic Apex character.
I will say I did see an interview of one of the creators, not of the game, but someone that does like coding.
Stop it.
And they were happy to see Bangalore in the game because she said, that looks like my sister. I've never seen my sister
in
a
Bangalore.
Game. And Bangalore's not outwardly pretty. You know what I mean? It's not like a
harsh
like
sometimes.
the traditional pretty, what you're talking about, like what the culture thinks is.
She's annoying as shit. What are we talking about?
Personality
wise. Level 2 extended mag. Put that on your gun to have more bullets.
Dude,
I love
Bangalore.
But she's got... Some people don't mind that.
She's got your back, though.
She's got your back.
And she's kind of one of the most centric people in the story of Apex. She's usually the one progressing what's happening.
She's also got a real smoky voice. She's got a real smoky voice. Pretty good.
Yeah.
So drops the smoke, makes him broke.
Yes, heard that a million times. So I don't know if there's one particular character from Apex that necessarily is.
No, there isn't.
Maggie's
pretty rad.
No.
You and Nick's opinion is lower. I'm sorry, you don't play as much. You don't.
That's all you play.
Right. So I would have a good opinion of who's an iconic character, but like Mad Maggie.
I'm happy to see representation in that game. Okay,
I am too.
Fuck you.
But also, Chris, respectfully, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Okay.
Next question.
Glad we see eye to eye. Batman from the Arkham series.
Joker from the Arkham series.
Yes.
Ooh. Batman and Joker from the Arkham series.
No.
Harley Quinn.
No, and here's why. At the end of Arkham City, when Joker's dying,
spoilers,
and
he dies.
Knocked the serum out, and Batman looks him in his eyes and says, "You know, even after everything that you've done, I still would have saved you." And Joker says, "That is pretty funny." And he laughs dying. He dies laughing.
This to
he
me,
laughs dying.
He laughs dying. There's so much context, I think, for the Arkham series, and it's that this is a continuation of its own right of the animated show. Like, this to me is the animated show in game form.
Sure.
And those two performers, Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy, acted like this was the last thing they were ever going to do.
Two masters at the top of their craft.
I still think Joker in that series is the more notable character than Batman, just because of what he does with everything in that series, aside from becoming a stupid Bane clone in the end of the first game.
That is the weakest of
of all the plot points.
I think that Arkham City is the pinnacle. I think Arkham Knight is a step down.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a good time, but it's a step down.
Also, how many voices does your boy do in that game?
Steve Bloom?
Yeah.
Like several, 5 to 20 different people probably.
Dude.
I can't believe Batman did this today. No way. Did you? Yeah.
Half the time he's talking to himself.
Joker was really mad this morning.
Yeah. You ever think he's just watching us? Yeah. I mean, as far as characters, they had obviously a lot to go off of from what came before it, but... Yeah, great way to finish some of the story arcs.
So you're going as far as to saying that they are great, some of the greatest video game characters.
Yes,
even though they were,
I think they are iconic.
Because my thought process is they were way iconic for other things beforehand, and that helped them. And so I wouldn't call them iconic video game characters because they're technically characters from a different genre that were then put into a video game. But I still see your side. Fantastic game. I love that series. They are amazing characters.
Let's look at what it did. I'm not saying it created the fighting counter system that it used, but it fucking revolutionized
perfected it at the time.
That was the first game that had that fighting engine.
I don't know every game out there. I'll agree
with you, because there's been other games, obviously, with Batman and Joker where they suck and they're not great characters. Because I'll argue the Marvel's, what's that studio? Spider-Man. Who did Spider-Man, the newest game?
Insomniac.
I think that's one of the greatest Spider-Men we've ever seen in any media ever. I love Tom Holland, and Toby was amazing, obviously, but Yuri.
Andrew was there.
Yuri, I feel, captured what the cartoon captured and also what I hear in the comics. I'm like, oh, shit. This is like he literally jumped from the page into this game. So I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do think that the Spider-Man from that Insomniac game is one of the best renditions of a superhero we've seen.
And it uses the fighting system from the Arkham series.
Look at that. Sure it's all does. Tied That's together.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
No way.
And
I should play that.
Dude, it's
a great game. I platinumed the shit out of that game, man. I love that game.
So between the fighting system, the stealth that it used, the creativeness that it allows you, you know, it was a true sandbox. Like, you took down enemies how you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The how you could just kind of listen in on what the lackeys were saying, and they had some funny ass shit building to say. Yeah, like straight up world building.
The open world was so good.
Yeah,
it was so good. I mean, because
even if you just look at Arkham Asylum, that's still like a great Metroidvania game. Yeah,
exactly. And Arkham Asylum was amazing in its design, right?
Yeah.
Because you're all in one area, but then
Ivy, Scarecrow, like,
it took that design and then spread it out throughout an entire city. And you had multiple areas like that. And it was, oh man, it was so good. Mm-hmm. You could, oh, I can't gush enough over
it. Right. You know, Arkham City starts with, like, you know that Joker is dying. And he infects you with the same thing that he has. And he's like, you'll figure it out.
Like, you're going to save us both.
You're Batman. You'll figure it out, you know. And like I said, just
very
that
clever use of
that last fight with Clayface, too. Like, all of that at the end.
That
and
twist, yeah.
Yeah.
Real big.
So, and the secrets and the Riddler, and I mean, like
the Killer Croc scene.
Killer Croc. Like, if the gameplay can feed into the mythos of the character, like it did with God of War or Halo or all that, I think all of that feeds into a near perfect rendition of Batman and Joker that have a spot, in my opinion, in the pantheon.
As a person who didn't care about the animated series enough, like, I really didn't give it enough. I didn't watch it that often. That games, 100%, those characters were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they weren't exactly the same. They were more mature.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, I mean, there's some fucked up shit. Yeah.
I think it's what the animated show would have been had it not been made for kids.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, that was very much like a darker playground for them to mess around in. So,
hell yeah. Yeah. Joker killed lots of people.
Joker killed lots of people.
Chris, you got another one?
I'm trying to think of one. Like, something that's, I don't know, we've kind of hit, like, all the important.
There's so many more we could.
Geralt.
I won't be able to talk too much on this, but take it away.
Yeah, actually. I was on the edge, but yeah, I agree.
Well, in 3, he grows so much. Like, the first 2 games are, you know.
Whatever, right.
Yeah, cool. But in the third game, he grows into a caring individual. Because he's a broken character,
so
he has to take care of someone.
Exactly.
So let's not kid ourselves here.
He is the lone wolf.
Well, 1 and 2 really are not what we're going to be talking about.
No,
not
at all.
What puts him in the pantheon? It's purely off of the accolades of Witcher 3.
Yep. Yes. And my God, is Witcher 3 a hell of a great game?
Yeah.
It is. For a lot of people, considered the best RPG ever made.
Yeah.
Like, not
foolish people.
Not one of, not, you know, oh yeah, it's up there. No, like, the best and what video games should look like going forward.
Yeah,
and
after Skyrim, but yeah.
Yes. No, I agree. To an extent, I agree.
I'm just digging in.
Yeah.
I'm just digging in.
Y'all, bold group.
I can absolutely respect Witcher 3 and Geralt being on the pantheon. I can absolutely respect that.
That game did so much. For that one single Witcher game did so much. It boosted the sales of the previous Witcher games by like tenfold.
What did it do, though?
It
For the people.
For the people?
Yeah, for the people.
I think
listening right now.
What would he in the
like, just give some examples like we have for
character wise though. Yeah. What makes Geralt?
What put him in the?
It's your character. I'm
like,
I just
let's
brought
go.
Him up, man. I'm just just round table.
His character in 3 ended up really realizing that he needs to, it's the same thing. Lone wolf finds a lost pup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And brings her up and starts to train her, starts to care for her. And along the way meets people who help him, who same thing with like Joel, for example, he was very closed off from everyone. And then eventually all these things come together and he ends up trusting people and he forms relationships. And in the 3rd game, you have the ability to cause ripple effects throughout the entire lands, depending on the decisions you make. You can cause one nation to fall and another nation to rise. You can cause the death of, you know, very important people or the safety of them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different things. And then you have a love triangle, a very serious love triangle, real shit. And you can decide any which way. You can decide to love one of them, the other one, or both of them.
Try for both.
Yeah.
That's the best ending.
Yeah, the best ending. Definitely. Yeah, real good ending. And it just...
I did.
It gave Geralt a personality that was reminiscent of your own, so it made you feel more attached to the decisions you were making.
Do you know much about the Witcher series as a whole, like the books and all that?
Franchise.
A little bit. I can't call myself a pro.
Does this take place in that universe, or is this separate from books?
It takes place in the universe, right? It's
from the books.
It's them taking certain things from the books and using them. But it's definitely further along than the books get, I think. For the most part.
With
the third one. The third one's the farthest along.
Mm-hmm. So if you're unfamiliar, the Witchers are a group of people that are manufactured mutants, basically. They are put through the Trial of Grasses, I think is what it's called. Don't quote me. It might have a different name, but it's something of grasses. And they literally infuse them with this stuff that makes them superhuman, basically.
It's a potion like that's magically induced.
Right, but it kills half of... Is it half? Something like half of the people that they put through the Trials of Grasses die before they get through it.
Dragon Age.
So they literally put these people through these things that would kill most. And they usually use orphans and people like that. People that were brought to the Witcher's place. Orphans and also people that were... Got through the
Scarlet Rot.
Siri,
stop it.
The rule of the fuck is nine. That called?
Cannot remember.
It's not. It's like it sounds like the element of surprise, but it's not that. It's like
the
rule of something.
It's rule of surprise.
Oh, rule of surprise.
Yeah, it's rule of surprise. Yeah,
So like they like witchers would be sunrise. You know what? You don't have enough money to do this. How about when you go home to your family, I take the first thing that greets you, and that's mine now.
Who's doing this?
Witchers would do that.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So they would follow him home, and one of the kids would be like, Daddy, you're home. Be like, that's my kid now.
Mm-hmm.
And they would take him and go put him through the trial of grasses, like, and they might live, like they might die. Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
But, like, in that world, the Witchers are dying out. There's not many of them left.
I wonder why.
Well, because there's not as much magic in the world. There's not as many magical creatures. They are dying out.
Well, they're also getting killed,
right?
Because the creatures, they're monster hunters. Basically, they're mercenary monster hunters. They'll do other jobs and stuff like that. But the whole point of them getting their abilities and their powers is so it can better help them become stronger and faster against monsters. And they kind of go monstrous themselves.
Right.
He's got cat eyes.
Got to become the monster to kill the monster.
Exactly. So but because of that, a lot of them, they get power hungry. They get, you know, they think they can do everything on their own, whatever it might be. And
why the fuck would I take an order from a human when I could easily fucking kill you?
Or they'll go out and they'll be like, oh, I can take on any monster. And their hubris gets them killed.
Right.
And so a lot of them started getting killed off, or they were getting too old and dying, you know, and magic was kind of leaving until, speaking of Siri, came back, and then shit started to expand and explode again.
But just him in the beginning of the game, even, he's very much like,
Roach.
He's very emotionless, which is one of the things that happens to you when you go through the Trial of Grasses. Your humanity is almost taken from you. But at this point in Witcher 3, he's almost 100 years old, or he is 100 years
old? No, he's like 200 and something years old. Yeah, he's
very old, and he starts to like come back to a more of a human form. Like he's starting to age. Yeah, he's starting to age, and he's starting to care about things. And his own trainer is even older than him, Vesemir. And
they made an anime about him, right?
Maybe. Did they?
On Netflix.
The Witcher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And a whole Netflix show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean.
There's an anime?
About his teacher.
Vesemir. He just
mentioned. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, Geralt, that game, they both benefited from each other. The character benefited from the game.
Yeah.
And the game benefited from the character. It was a perfect combination for that. And Geralt, I think, does sit on the Pantheon now because of just that one game, which is insane.
But I'll try it again someday and not beat it.
It's too much game for you, Jesse.
Too much.
It's too much game for you.
I just need you to play it and I'll watch
it. Pick all flowers, man. Just pick them all.
Yeah, pick them all, man.
I did get distracted with Gwent for like 3 hours once.
Gwent's cool.
Hey, I have never played a game of Gwent because every time I get to an area where I could play Gwent, Star's like, Give it over.
There's there's like a chess game in Horizon, and I spent like an hour playing that too. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Oh man, so yeah, I don't know. Geralt's definitely up there.
Anybody I want to read the books. I have the first one, so I probably will.
How long have you had it?
A year.
No, how long have you had it?
A year and a half. Maybe two. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet you'll read it, and I bet you'll play the game.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned a certain character from a certain series that you've had
Resident Evil 5, the Boulder.
Woo! Wait, what?
What? Huh? Oh, no. I know what you're talking about.
Leon Super Kennedy.
Here's the thing. He's obviously one of my favorite video game characters of all time, but is he,
where he been,
worthy of being in the top greatest characters of all time? No.
Probably not.
No.
Damn.
Probably
I
not.
Love him in Resident Evil 2. He's just a guy. He's just a guy in a cop uniform who wants to get out of the city. And Resident Evil 4, he's a super spy now for some reason. I'm okay with it. It's cool. He looks kind of like Macaulay Culkin, which is weird. But he's
Macaulay
got a cool,
Culkin is an excellent.
But he's got a cool jacket. And yeah, he does cool spy stuff. And kicks he says cool one-liners. Where's everyone going? Bingo. And then he's in Resident Evil 6. And he's played by Matt Mercer. Great voice. He can do flips.
And shit.
And he does things. Look, I love that. Obviously, he's my kind of character. He's got everything I'd love.
So
but
Resident Evil 4 is bigger
great game.
Than him.
Yes. Mm. The game is bigger than the character.
If we're going to mention Resident Evil, instead of Leon or Chris, I would say Nemesis.
I would say Wesker, but Nemesis would be up there too.
Nemesis.
Who do you think is more recognizable by people who haven't played the genre?
Probably Nemesis because of the movie.
Yeah. And also because, you know, you saw his picture everywhere online, like in that day and age.
Iconic monster.
Yeah, iconic monster.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I would think. Now, I agree with you. When it comes to heroes, Leon's my favorite. He's my favorite hero of the series. I really, really enjoy him.
Jill, a close second.
Yeah, Jill's cool. But Nemesis, a lot of people think Nemesis when they think of Resident Evil. It would
have been crazy if she'd have became a Jill sandwich in that first game.
That would have been. And here's the thing about the Resident Evil games is that they wanted to capitalize, let's make a horror movie in a game. And generally, horror movie characters aren't the most notable.
Sure.
So you have your generic super cop. You have your generic military person, your generic spy person. They're not overly expanded characters, so to speak. So as much as I love the Resident Evil series and many of the characters in them, I unfortunately, I don't think I can put them in the top characters of all time. A Nemesis, I would. Mm-hmm. Wesker, I would, because they're iconic, because people have seen them and are like, oh, I know who that is or what that is.
Right.
But if I told someone, hey, you heard of Leon Kennedy? They're going to be like, is that like a president? Like,
I just figured you'd show them one of the figures you have and be like, that's
Leon Kennedy right here. You see him? You see
that guy? Senior Super Kennedy right there.
Senior Super Kennedy.
Nice.
When someone first said his middle name is Super, I was like, that makes sense.
Wait, that's really his middle name?
No. It's Scott. Oh. I would argue Chris Redfield out of the heroes is probably the most famous of the Resident Evil franchise.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Did you play 5?
I did. It's a great co-op game.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is it's a great co-op game.
It's a great co-op game.
Play that game by yourself.
No, we don't do that.
No.
One of the worst AI companions ever in the history of gaming.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. I mean, do we want to do like a lightning round? Try to think of some ones and just kind of throw them off, or does somebody have another one they really want to talk about?
That they want to...
I'm sure we're missing some that are really important to us and we're not thinking of them right now.
We're perfect.
Iconic ones, like, so we can go back to mascot era.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really talk about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
Which, especially right now, blowing up.
Yeah, again.
Again, I feel if you're in Smash Bros, like, that covers...
Right, I was going to say
Bandicoot.
I was going to say Donkey Kong, but I was like, well, Smash Brothers, you
know. Banjo-Kazooie.
Crash
Bandicoot doesn't really have a character unless you watch the PlayStation commercials.
But what? Iconic character.
Right, but still an
he
iconic
was in commercials.
Character. Spyro, same thing. Like,
yeah, but it was a dude.
But again, boys, are we talking greatest or iconic? Because there's plenty of people that are iconic that I would not put in the greatest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Crash Bandicoot is not greatest. Great.
He's great. He's got giant shoes. He spins like the Tasmanian devil. He's got a cool sister. And
what the fuck is a bandicoot?
Yeah, it's real.
You talk about that era of gaming, Spyro, Crash Bandicoot are going to be mascots mentioned every single time.
Absolutely.
The mascots.
As they should actually be. I would. So then I would put them in there.
Because we mentioned Mario in the previous episode. I mean, right. Same.
But Mario's Mario.
Right.
And Bandicoot's Bandicoot.
Mega Man. Yeah, man. Remember?
Mega Man. Created a genre. Yeah. If they created a genre, they're in.
Yeah, they're
Cut in. Man.
What?
I like Cutman.
I said Cutman.
Cutman's real. Yeah, Gutsman. Hydro Man.
I personally, and I would fight for it, I would put Ratchet and Clank.
I love Jack and Daxter, at least.
No, I fucking love Jack and Daxter. But I just Ratchet and Clank has how many great games?
30. I don't know, a lot.
Did you say 30?
They have a shitload of games.
They have a lot. Of games.
The style of gameplay. A movie. Still fantastic games. Great looking games that are coming out
based off the movie.
And but yeah, just the style of gameplay with the voice acting, with the iconic characters, silly stuff that happens, great villains, interesting worlds that I still remember going to, you know, and just a really fun, and the promos, those the smart ads marketing, they had.
Always
yeah.
good. The guns. Always good.
Yes.
Always good.
What do we need this chicken gun for?
Yeah. Yeah. So and how creative they get with, you know, with the gameplay. So I would absolutely put it in there.
Yeah.
Now, that is not including any of the times I had to do the grindy racing.
But what does that have to do with the character, though?
Right.
What about like Kirby? Yeah, Kirby be up there, I think.
I love Kirby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he appeals to a lot of ages.
Mm.
And then when you get to the end of the game, you kill God every time. It's fucking weird.
Yeah. very easy to get into gameplay.
He's adorable. Mm-hmm. He has a sword.
He has a bunch of weapons depending on who he eats.
Yeah.
The new game's cool too in the fact that like you can upgrade.
Oh shit. I need to play that
so
at some point.
When you absorb the enemies, like you can, there's actual progression to it.
Yeah.
So like when you start the game, once you absorb an enemy, it'll be a certain style of power and then you can upgrade it multiple times. And then when you absorb that same enemy, you're like way stronger.
Dope. I want to play that game.
The ability evolves what?
Pikachu.
Yeah.
I've thought about Pikachu, but I just like,
But it started a revolution. I mean, Pokemon's like unstoppable. Unfucking stoppable.
One of the most profitable like IPs of all time.
Media.
And
billions.
In Blue and Red, it wasn't Charizard's obviously famous as well, but it didn't launch the series.
Right.
They were going to use Chansey as the as the main mascot. And they were like, well, let's do this little mouse.
What's Chansey?
Chansey's like a weird ball of
Clefairy,
pink.
Not Chansey.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It was Clefairy. It's like a little pink fairy.
Yeah.
I love Clefairy, but
it's like Gengar, but nice.
Guys, we're from a town that changed its name to Pikachu.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Topeka launched the American
release
of the Pokemon game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we renamed our town to Pikachu, and we have a military base here called Forbes Field, and a plane went over, or a helicopter, I can't remember, and dropped a fuck ton of, like, little Pikachu figures.
Killed like 1,000 squirrels, but they don't talk about that part.
In this field, and like, big deal around here.
Shout out to Nintendo for remembering us, because when the remakes, when Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee came out, they made sure their Nintendo tour came through and went to our Gage Zoo. Jesse and I, on our lunch break, ran over there just to check it out and be a part of the experience, you know, so it's ingrained, you know, not only in Topeka, but just in us as gamers. I mean,
he's become pop culture. I mean, Pikachu will forever be the one Pokemon that if someone has to name a Pokemon, it's going to be Pikachu.
Yep.
That character's changed style quite a bit. It used to be a fucking fat mouse. He used to be cute and cuddly, and now he's all skinny and sexy, needs some food. Feed that Pikachu, guys. Back to fat Pikachu.
Guys,
they made a game called
Fat Pikachu?
Feed that Pikachu.
It was Hey You Pikachu. You Pikachu.
I know, but you could always...
You had the mic.
Yeah, the mic. It was like, so on the 64.
Shouldn't he be like, shouldn't Ash's Pikachu be like a god at this point?
It should be, yes. Like a buff ass.
Like it looks at someone and they explode.
Pikachu!
Yeah, like who's just been in crazier Giga fights Chad than that Pikachu? Pikachu
just, oh, it, like, no. Lightning bolted an Onix and won. Yeah. What the fuck?
Because he was wet.
Shut up.
You know what didn't work in the game? Lightning bolt. Yeah. Save fucking Onix.
No effect. Okay, thanks, fucking show.
Yeah.
But that just goes to show a character doesn't always have to have story or, you know, be this deep character. It could literally be something that just appeals to the masses and gets people into gaming. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a big part of why people join this world is because they see something. They're like, that looks cute or cool or whatever it is. Then they play it and then they're open to this whole new world that opens up. Like I can guarantee Pokemon got millions and millions of people into RPGs.
Yeah.
That's like baby's first RPG.
That was my first RPG.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Shit. Yeah. What do you think of the games that have released within the last, I'll say, 5 years? What do you think of those characters might become one of the greatest or top echelon?
I have not played the second game yet. So, Jesse, I don't think you've gotten too far into it.
I know where you're going.
But Aloy. Aloy. Yep. I mean, I late bloomer, as I usually am to whatever games are out, but I platinumed the first
Zero Dawn.
Horizon Zero Dawn. Your boy doesn't platinum games very often. And I fucking love Aloy. Like
Aloy's, she's a cool character.
She is
awesome.
She is inspirational. Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, like, Kratos isn't inspirational. No. You know, like, there's not, I feel, too many inspirational characters. And she is.
And it's not overly sold, I think, at any point either. It's just a, I have a mission. I'm going to get this done. I found people to help me.
Like, she's true to who she is from beginning to end. And she's relatable and you feel for her. She's fucking picked on the beginning of that game. Yeah, and she becomes, she's kind of like, she kind of becomes like,
Naruto.
What is a Spectre? Is that what, Shep is? Yeah. So she's, you know, she kind of becomes Shepherd, you know, Shepherd. Similar trajectory kind of in the beginning.
Oh shit. Commander Shepard.
We'll talk about that next.
We'll talk about that next.
But I think Aloy is very quickly headed that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know from what you've played with two if it still feels like they're picking up there as far as
I didn't play the DLC, so I might be missing something. Does the DLC take place after the story?
No, the DLC is completely separate.
Yeah. Okay. So they're kind of going into this part where she kind of feels like she has to do things on her own, which I'm not crazy about. I'm only about 10, 15 hours in the game. So, and that's a lot of side stuff too. So story wise, I'm pretty early. So I'm hoping that they kind of turn around from that because I liked that she trusted people pretty quickly in that first game. Now,
except for the guy that was always outside the bandit camp. So it was like, let's murder together. Yeah. She's like, I will, but don't get too close.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm early in the game. I'm hoping that kind of goes away pretty quickly because I liked how they set her up in the first game. Mm-hmm. But absolutely. Depending on how this game ends and where it goes, she can definitely be a iconic character easily for PlayStation.
Yeah. Right. And she doesn't, you know, part of what I love about her character, she doesn't cling to tradition. And the first Horizon is so much about these are our traditions, these are our customs, and these are what we stick to. And she was like, but why? That's not benefiting people. And they're like, well, that's because what we do. And she's like, well, that's praise stupid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's just cool because it mirrors the real world a lot. People are afraid of shit just because they don't understand it. And she is willing to take that step and put herself into uncomfortable situations to change. Because if y'all keep doing that shit, we're all going to die. Mm-hmm. So I guess I will save the stupid people along with, you know, like the right people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the story of the first game, I mean, awesome. The way that you get it in little tidbits leading up to the end, I mean, it just culminates in such a great way.
And she fights robo dinosaurs. What's not to love?
She's a badass. She's, you know, she could be the next Lara Croft or just the next great relatable character.
So,
you know?
Yes, I 100%. Okay. Jin Sakai.
Thank you. That was my next one anyway.
Jin Sakai.
The other game I platinumed. Is it you two?
I platinumed Jin. No,
we all platinumed it.
Yeah, we all platinumed it.
Do you
not agree? that he could be become?
Yeah, I mean, we're one game in.
Well, that was
the only PlayStation game I think I've ever platinumed.
What with. A hell of a swan song for the PS4. That hell Last of yeah. Us 2, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and we, you know, we brought that up.
Ghost of Tsushima, we had an entire episode about that game and yep. how much we loved it and how surprised we were how much we loved that game and how amazing it was.
Honestly, they did a terrible job at telling people how good their game was.
They did because
you will follow wolves with yeah. Yeah, or foxes into the bush.
Yeah. At the time, okay. Sekiro came out yes. before it, right?
Yeah.
And everybody was looking forward to Sekiro, which, again, Sekiro was an amazing game.
Right, got game of the year.
Got game of the year, all that kind of stuff. So
hard as fuck.
Ghost
hard
of Tsushima came out and was kind of under the radar. And people were like, eh. And even
people thought it was a Souls game.
Even at one point, or Jesse was like, I'm not sure how I feel about that. We all picked it up.
Day one.
And
thanks, Dakota.
Got you, bro.
And my God, the transformation you see Jin go through in that game and, you know, almost dying, getting rid of his, his traditions and stuff.
Breaking traditions. Right? I will do what yes. I have to do to save the stupid
exactly.
people.
Yes. And that's what he did.
Wow. You can't say that.
But it's not even a happy ending. It's not even a happy ending.
No matter what you do.
No matter what you do. So it still gives you consequences. He still goes through the trials and tribulations. Even though he wins the day, he still loses because of the decisions he made. And life just fucks him over. It's a very real story.
It has
done. Kind of is a real story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It made you feel like you were Jin Sakai. Mm-hmm. When I went to his family's home, that felt like my family's home. When you saw his father's armor, that was your father's armor. Mm-hmm. That is your uncle. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And those are your decisions that you're making. Granted, we all decided the decisions overall, like it really comes down to one or the other at the end, right? But the emotional baggage that carries with
still
that character.
Mad about it.
I know you are.
And from beginning to end, like he is a different person. You know, he is the ghost, for better or for worse. And yes, if we get another one, I haven't played the DLC for that one yet either.
I need
but,
to get that.
That is a moment in time, you know, like in video game history.
It is so good that a lot of Japanese developers were upset that they didn't make a game like that first.
Yeah.
They were like, this came from an American studio. And
what and, is well, going on?
And maybe for them, they thought that like, and I don't know why, because the world is obsessed with Japanese culture.
Yeah.
But maybe they just felt like that wasn't marketable.
Maybe.
Well, holy fuck, is that marketable? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do it right, because there's been plenty of samurai games, Samurai Warriors, you know, that like are whatever. They're fun, brainless games. I like them. But
well, I mean, you got some games like Tenchu. Tenchu was cool.
Yeah.
And you had Ninja Gaiden, not the same type of
Oni,
game. But
Onimusha.
Onimusha. Yeah. Onimusha. Yeah. I love that game.
Yeah. So that would have been an iconic character, but they haven't done shit with that.
They haven't done. Yeah. Haven't done
well, the third game had Jean Reno in it. Remember that?
Yeah. It yes. did.
So I don't know. I mean, I would take some more Japanese lore style games. Yeah. You know, and I mean, look at I'm not saying it's one of the greatest characters, but what was the one with the dog, the cool one?
The one with the dog.
You plays the dog with the painting.
Okami.
Okami, yeah.
So, you know, like,
Amaterasu.
And that was, people loved that game when it came out. So it's, you know, I think there's a space for it. But yeah, dude. Yeah. Oh, Jin Sakai. Yeah.
Jin, and he was nice enough to take our money and give us a shout out on
nice
for our
enough.
Podcast.
No, no, no. He knew us.
Yeah, sure,
and
man.
Said okay. how much
women.
He likes us.
Yeah.
We're buddies.
Yeah, we're yeah. totally buddies.
80 if bucks you, will make you a friend.
If you have a PS4 or a PS5 and you haven't played Ghost of Tsushima, do it.
Do that.
Do it right now.
Do it.
If you don't
do
play
it.
Video games, play it anyway.
It's go out, great. Buy a PS4 right now, buy Ghost of Tsushima, play it.
Play it.
The final character that I wanted to talk about was the nameless, voiceless character of No Man's Sky who never does anything.
Oh,
iconic, one of the greatest characters of all time. Thank you.
That was tough. There was a lot of characters where I was like, the guy from Half-Life doesn't say anything. Fuck. You know who's fucking cool from the same universe?
Of Half-Life? The yeah. G-Man.
GLaDOS.
Oh. Well, yes.
GLaDOS is one of the greatest yeah. characters of all
yeah.
time.
Fuck yeah, yeah. she is.
definitely.
Dude. She sings you a song in the end.
And wow. She's kind of scary in she the second scary. Game. She
makes you feel it.
Even as a potato, she's kind of scary. Relevant.
Portal, I think, is the perfect video game experience.
And I'll say it. Wheatley, in the second game, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
That portrayal is really good.
He fucking got me hook, line, and fucking sinker.
Yeah, that's sad.
If you haven't played Portal 2, god damn. You should. The gameplay is amazing, but somehow the story with a silent protagonist, fucking incredible.
Shell? Yeah.
With the rubber, not rubber legs,
metal legs.
So she can survive the drop.
You notice in the last 5 years, talking about Last of Us 2 again, Abby from The Last of Us 2, phenomenal acting, Laura Bailey, plays her, and very different from a protagonist, antagonist, kind of
both. Yeah, yeah, right.
Anti-hero?
Video
game character.
Video game character. Very different from any, I think, most portrayal of a woman we've seen in a video game. I mean, we're talking buff shit. Buff woman. Mm-hmm. But still has a feminine side. Still has a love story.
Yeah, still has emotions.
Still has emotions.
Big ladies have feelings, too.
Big ladies have feelings.
And they can kick your ass.
And you hate her immediately at the beginning of that game. And then you go through her journey and realize they're just as fucked up as Joel and just as fucked up as Ellie.
Yep.
That was still to this day fucking like, I can't believe they did it. I still can't believe they did
it. The biggest balls a studio has ever had.
To make me play as the character I hated. I wanted to just run into a fucking field of clickers and die every time I played her. And then by the end of it, I was like, fuck.
Yep.
Fuck, she's just like everyone else.
I remember looking at Michelle at that point because she was watching me play it, and I was like, they're going to make me fucking like her, and it pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole game, I was like, I don't want this. Don't want this. And then you run into Lone Wolf, pup you have to take care of, and I'm like, oh my God, we're doing this again.
Shout out to Naughty Dog, because we've mentioned Crash Bandicoot, Jack and Daxter, Uncharted, and Last of Us.
Yep.
They know how to
they
make.
Know, yeah, they
know how to make games,
make
bro.
Fantastic IPs.
So Abby won't probably go anywhere, I would say, like in the future installments, but that'll be a performance that's talked about for several years.
I agree. I could be wrong, but wasn't one of the leads of that, all those games, a female? The lead designer, like the person who came up with the story.
I am not sure.
I don't know,
actually. There was Neil Druckmann, and I believe, yes. You're talking about Uncharted as well?
I'm talking about Uncharted, Last of Us, and possibly all the way back to even Crash Bandicoot.
I believe you're correct, but I do not know her name.
What was the other Uncharted? Naughty Dog, Uncharted, Last of Us?
Jack and Daxter.
I don't know if they... Well, I'm sure. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does. It's super cool if that's what it is.
Yeah.
But if not, girls rule. Anyway.
Can you think of anything else within the last 5 years at all?
Last 5 years have been weird, dude.
Mm-hmm. Been a little weird.
Honestly, the last 2 years don't even count.
I know. It's fucking, it's great. I mean, the top 10 played games right now aren't even from the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The IGN released a list. So, I don't know. I hope there's more.
Me too.
But I feel like I can't think of any for Microsoft, but I mean, that's been a big issue for them. So we'll see what they do going forward.
We were going to talk about, Shepard.
Shepard, yeah.
Shepard.
Like, I would count some of the characters in that game.
Right. Like, I would say Garrus. Yeah. Garrus.
Like,
he's a bug.
He's a bug. We've had this conversation.
But he looks like a fucking cat.
He kind of looks like a catfish.
He kind of looks like a bug cat.
But, I thought they were bird people. They're bird people. They're not insects. They're closely related to bugs. No, they're not.
Yeah.
How could they be closely related to birds?
What
plant?
Are those things that bugs have? The shells?
Carapaces. Yeah.
Thoraxes.
Thank you. They have carapaces.
They're not bugs.
Okay.
You just want to date him, so you don't want it to be a bug.
I can date him if I play the game.
Commander Shepard.
Can fuck the shit out.
I do think Commander Shepard, because when you hear Commander Shepard, or if you hear Mass Effect, you immediately think Commander Shepard.
He's kind of stupid, though.
I think of FemShep.
Well, right. That's Commander Shepard.
Shepard,
yeah. Right? That's about, still Shepard.
You said you think of him. I'm just saying, I think of him, Shep.
Right, it depends
Shepard
on.
Shepard gets real silly sometimes.
It depends on who you play, FemShep or male Shep. But the other thing about it is, Shepard can be anybody you want them to be. They can be the preset if you want them to be. They can be anybody you want to make them look like. And a lot of people went through all three games of a custom made character.
I went with normal him because I did too. He looks. Not as good.
I did too. I went with normal Shep.
Mass Effect's one of my favorite
franchises of all time, and I don't know, like, I don't know. Is it just because the games are so good that we want to say Shepard, FimShep? When I say Shepard, I'm saying both of them.
I mean,
so,
right, of Joker is the best character in that.
Joker's fucking awesome. Oh, I love Joker.
Ben Garrus.
Thanks, Seth Green.
Garrus is great.
Liara, thank you very much.
Liara's amazing. Liara. There's so many great characters.
Right.
So many great characters.
Do you like Garrus more than Shepard? Do you like Liara more than Shepard? Do we like Joker more than Shepard?
I like Garrus more than Shepard.
I mean,
Shepard is our eyes into that world.
Right. Who I like doesn't necessarily, if I like that person more than Shepard, doesn't necessarily make them greater than Shepard.
That's a good point.
So
I guess if we look at what Shepard did for the universe he was in.
Right. And the fact that you got to make his decisions.
Yeah.
You put yourself in that character. What would you do in that situation?
I luckily also played all three of them after the final patch for the third game was out. So I had a normal experience all the way through.
Good job.
I didn't have the resentment.
I don't know. Like, in video game history, I think Commander Shepard is up there personally. If you guys don't, that's fine.
I don't know. You're convincing me more and more. He also, the more I think about it, he did something no other life form in the history of their universe has ever done, and that's beat the Reapers.
Mm-hmm.
No one's done it.
Right.
Their creators themselves literally hid from them. So the Mass Effect 1-3 is one of the greatest experiences I've ever done in video
not
games.
Not you, Andromeda.
No, we're not talking
about
Andromeda.
Fuck you, Andromeda.
Yeah, we're not talking about
that game. The DLCs for Mass Effect were great. Like,
God. They were some of the best DLCs ever made.
Like,
the content you got from them was like full expansions of game. So good.
I don't know. I mean, yes, I'll put it in there. I mean,
Star had to tell me it was part of the. She was like, "This isn't even part of the normal game." I was like, "Really?
Yeah.
Wow."
And this one might come out of left field, but
Bugsy,
Johnny
Bugsy.
Silverhand.
No. Clementine.
Oh.
Yeah, man.
Clementine.
I mean,
the first Walking Dead game did with Clementine and Lee, and then
the Telltale series put them on the map.
It did, and it revolutionized a whole genre that other people have taken into what they do. And my God, that the journey you go through her life, and you see where she goes
the
from the very beginning.
Of that first game.
Oh my God! Like
fuck that.
It won game of the year. It was a game that didn't have like normal action combat gameplay or anything like that. It was a story game, and it won game of the year because
Life
damn
is Strange.
Good,
similar.
Exactly. Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
Wolf Among Us.
Yeah. Clementine.
Wolf. Yeah. The Big Bad Wolf is dope too.
Especially seasons 2 and 3, mm-hmm. you continue with her and. Yeah, man, that's a good one. Lee's up there as well.
Yeah, Lee's
just
very
because
good.
Fucking
gone,
lone wolf,
he lost pump. Yep.
Yeah, every good game has it. Yeah. She's broken the mold, or she's breaking out from just the game.
Really,
they made a futuristic version of Walking Dead where like Rick has a lightsaber arm instead of his blade arm he gets in the normal comics, and Clementine's in it.
This is a comic book.
Yeah, they basically made a new version of it. The original creator did, and they put Clementine in it because they were like, dude, that was such a great character. Yeah. Let's put her in the comics too.
That's fucking cool.
It might not be someone or a character that everyone thinks of up the top of their head. But when you do mention it people are like, oh, shit, yeah.
When that first came out, that shit was different.
Yeah.
Like, that, yeah, I think people forget, but, like,
Jesse will remember that.
Yeah, like, right? When that first game came, that changed things. I mean, mm-hmm. it truly did, and it put Telltale on the map, you know?
Yeah, it really did.
I'm excited for Wolf Among Us, too. I forgot
Hell
about that
yeah.
shit, dude. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for
Among
sure.
Among Us, too, yeah.
Among Us 2.
Oh shit. Among Us. It's sus.
You guys got any other ones or?
I like Female V.
Female V?
I don't care about V at all. I think V's boring.
Cyberpunk, for all of its issues, if you dug into the story.
V from Devil May Cry, though.
That's what I thought you were talking about. And I was like, there's a female version?
No, I
there
really
is on the
do
internet.
Think that Female V did 5 times better than male V.
Voice acting, sure. The character's still boring.
Mm, I liked it.
I like
their arc.
Oh my God. I forgot someone.
Dante. Johnny Silverhand.
No.
Link.
Well, I love Link.
Yeah, Rhett
and Link.
Link, yeah.
Ezio Auditore da Firenze.
Difference.
Difference.
Yeah, I mean, he was cool. He was voiced by Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Chris Redfield, same guy.
The revenge story seen through three parts.
I would say not. It wasn't even revenge after the first second game. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Assassin's Creed 2. He became more of a. It was a mission. It was a mission for him to save the world.
Yeah, and he built the Brotherhood up again. And
yeah, I do like his story a lot. Out of all the assassins, obviously he's probably the most expanded, being in.
Mm-hmm.
Three games, and then he was featured in.
Oh, he wasn't in one at all.
He was in Brotherhood and Revelations.
And then they talk about him, right? In one of the others.
I mean, they might talk about him, but are you talking about where he goes and sees Ezio? Because that's in Revelations.
There's a super cool side story where he gets a Soul Calibur.
He gets the Soul Blade.
He was in Soul Calibur 5.
But just the mix of Shakespearean feeling, like what was happening. Mm-hmm. Revenge Tale, turned into like, you know, reluctant leader that had to save the world, and then look to the past in order to see how to lead people in the future. It was a dope story.
Became the guy at the end of Last Crusade that's just watching the Grail, basically. Right. You've chosen poorly. Ezio's by far the best assassin out of all of the games.
And I mean, you know, that really elevated Assassin's Creed as a series. For a while. So I would have to put Ezio up there. Voice acting, gameplay, it completely expanded upon Assassin's Creed 1. The multiplayer was fun for a little bit in Brotherhood, and it kept going. But the freeform way that you were able to tackle missions, you know, you could like glide in from the top and then come down and assassinate someone or work away from the bottom up, and it was fucking dope when that came out. And I mean, you know, it's been raining to the ground a bit now, but when 2 came out,
sure,
that was a moment.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you got a gun. That was pretty cool.
Get this man a gun.
So anyway, guys, this is Ugly Sonic. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Digital Bath Podcast.